Welcome to You Learn Something New Every Day. I am Joan Boyko, Coordinator of Communications and Community Outreach for the Palm Springs Unified School District. We are here each Sunday at 9 a.m. on AM 1340 KWXY. We also invite you to download and subscribe to our podcast. It's really easy. All you have to do is go to iTunes, look for You Learn Something New, press subscribe. You'll get a new show each Sunday afternoon. This show, of course, is produced by my very dedicated team of student interns here in the Digital Arts Technology Academy, also known as DATA, at Cathedral City High School, under the direction of Mr. Bryce Johnson. Daniel's on the board today. Thank you for everything that you do. You're awesome. And today on the show, I am very pleased to welcome Palm Springs Unified's Student Assistance Program Coordinator, Mr. Don Slusser.
Joan,
welcome.
Nice to see you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming back. And one of our community liaisons, Olivia Zarco Sales.
Hi.
Hello. Nice to see you. I think we might have met once or twice in passing,
so.
But I couldn't place you when Don mentioned you. So it's nice to see you.
Nice seeing you too. Thank you.
So, Don, how long have you been with the district and what positions have you held? And it's only a half hour show, so, you know.
So this is my 29th year in the district. I started teaching seventh grade at Nellie Kaufman. And then I went to work as a BITSA consulting teacher. I was in charge of the Reading First grant. I was in charge of professional development. I was the assistant principal at Nellie Kaufman. And now I'm in student services.
Well, I would say, okay, so it has been 29 years, so I guess you didn't move around all that much.
No,
sounds like a lot of positions, doesn't it?
It does.
Anyway, you've been in this position, what, five, six?
Four. This is my fourth
Four?
Year.
Yeah. Oh, feels like longer.
It does. No, it does not.
It depends. But all right, so give us a little overview, snapshot of what the Student Assistance Program Coordinator does.
So my big thing is helping students to make sure they attend school and graduate from high school. So we try and get rid of any barrier that's going to be in that way. So we work with students that are foster students, homeless students, parents that are having difficulty getting their kids to school for a variety of reasons. We also do transfers in our department. We also do expulsions. We do anything that's it seems that that's not academic kind of comes through us.
It's a big job.
It's a fun job. It's a job that's
it's
every
diverse.
Day is something different.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mine too. So
yes, you know,
that's a good thing. So Olivia, how long have you been in the district?
This is my second year with
that's
the school
what?
District. That's
oh,
it. I'm
so
one
you
of the
came
newbies.
In fresh.
Yes, I'm one of the newbies.
So you are what we call community liaison, and before I talked to you specifically about your position. Just the whole concept on of community liaisons is maybe more districts are doing it now, but I know when we started it, it's got to be what, 12 years ago around. It was cutting edge and not something that a lot of districts were doing at the time. Now I hope that's evolved because I think we've proven how important the position is. Just give a snapshot on what do the community liaisons do.
So I have 10 community liaisons. They work at elementary school. Their major focus is attendance. So the schools have an attendance clerk, but when the attendance clerk can't find a kid, can't get hold of a parent, it's my community liaison's job to find the parents, find out what's stopping the kid from coming to school, and remedy it so that the kid is coming to school every day.
Okay, so Olivia, what schools are you
responsible
for?
I am at Della Lindley Elementary School, which is in Thousand Palms, and at Rancho Mirage Elementary School.
Okay, so on a given day, tell us, what does your day look like? What do you do?
So when I first get there, usually I start to run reports to try to keep track of our students' attendance. So we keep track of like chronic absenteeism.
And what's the definition of chronic absenteeism?
So chronic absenteeism is any student who's been out for 10% of the school year or higher. So once they hit that 10% mark, we start to track them to try to figure out what's going on with the student. Of course, we try to catch it before they hit that chronic target, but we try to meet with parents. We do SARTs at the school site.
You have to say what that is.
Student Attendance Review Team.
Uh-huh.
So we meet with the parent, the student, and the principal, one of the administrators of the school. And we try to, figure out what's going on with their attendance, why they're missing, We provide resources. So a lot of times we do find that when we're at these meetings, there's other stuff going on at home. So then we would provide resources for that, whether it's counseling, whether it's, you know, they need clothes, you know, that we get with other organizations to try to figure out and pinpoint how we can help these families to get to school.
So, like on a typical day, maybe there is no typical day, but, or let's say on a typical week, about how many kids are you looking for, trying to find out what's going on?
So both of my schools are completely different. So on a typical day, when like my busiest day, my busier days, I get there and usually I have to do a few home visits. So I'll have maybe 5 or 6 families that I would have to go see, depending on.
And is that because you can't reach them by phone?
Yeah, so once the clerk, the attendance clerk has tried to contact these families and has not been successful at contacting them, I would either reach out by phone or I start to make home visits to try to find out where the student is and to just try to get them back in school and figure out how we can meet with these parents.
So about, what would you say about how many of them are you having to go visit in a day or a week?
In a week?
Yeah.
Well, depends.
Five is about the average. For a day.
Yeah, for a day.
That's a big day.
So are you sometimes, you know, you talk to a parent and you just hear the, you know, life's falling apart and things are terrible. You'll schedule to go out and talk to them in person.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, sometimes we have, where they're just having transportation issues. Sometimes we have parents that have lost jobs. Sometimes we have parents that needed to move. I mean, there's a lot of different, every family is different, you know, so sometimes you can come across where it's just, you know, they have a lot going on at home and they just can't get their student there. You know, so it's just, you know, and when we do come across those parents, we try to provide as many resources as we can to try to help those families.
So let's say, so the district is, you know, during when we had the massive budget cuts several years ago, we cut back the district as a whole on busing. You have to live pretty darn far from the school to get a bus.
Yeah.
And high school, we don't do any, right?
Special ed, correct.
Yeah, and then elementary, you have to live, what, a couple miles, 2 miles mm-hmm. maybe. So it's pretty far. So what do you do knowing that, you know, we can't just go send a bus for a kid every day? What do you do when you come across parents that have transportation issues?
Well, like a couple of things that I've recommended is sometimes is try to get, you know, in touch with your community, you know, other families, friends of the children that can maybe they can carpool. You know, one of the resources that we do have is like SunBus passes we have for families that are really in need. Mm-hmm. You know, they can get on a SunBus, you know, we can provide SunBus passes. But usually I try to get them to get more involved with their community. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, try to see if you can, you know, a classmate or somebody that can maybe carpool with you and try to get your student to school, you know, just to kind of help each other out while they're at school.
So more times than not, you're dealing with the younger kids. So you're not dealing with kids at the high school level. We'll talk about them later, but they have issues too. Mm-hmm. At times they might be watching younger siblings, but we also have the truant kids who are just, you know, ditching school.
Yeah.
Or whatever they call it now. They still say ditching, Don? Daniel, do you ditch school? What do you do?
I don't ditch school.
I know you don't, but is the term still
ditching?
Is that what you say? Is it ditching? Is it?
Yeah, it's usually still ditching.
Okay.
One of the nice
some people say they cut class.
Cut class. Okay, I used to say that too. That's not that I did it.
It's not that common, but some people still do.
Yeah.
One of the things that we do look at though is they look at the family.
Right.
When they don't go out on a home visit, it's not just one kid. It's like. And they look at the attendance for all the kids.
Yeah, for all the siblings.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So more often than not, especially when you're dealing with the younger kids, mm-hmm. you know, at the elementary level, are you finding that that the parents are usually receptive to you reaching out? Or is it, get out of my face, you don't have a right to be here, it's my business?
It's kind of 50-50. We do have some parents that are that way that don't want us at their door at all, you know, or want us to kind of, you know, mind your own business type of thing. But then you do get the parents that are a little more receptive or don't really realize. Sometimes you have to educate them a little bit on the attendance when you tell them and they're like, oh, I didn't realize that this was so important and I didn't realize. And you have to kind of, you know, just inform them and educate them on attendance and how important it is for the kids to be in school so that they don't miss out on any education.
Isn't there a statistic, and I, Don, you might know it off the top of your head more than me, but it's something about if a kid misses a certain number of days in kindergarten, they're not going to read at grade level by third grade. And if they don't read at grade level by third grade, the likelihood that they drop out of school goes up exponentially.
That is correct.
And I don't know, we don't need the exact numbers, but it's pretty amazing when you're like, no, come on. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the difference if my kid misses kindergarten? Well, guess what? If you haven't had a kindergartner in the past, I'm going to even say 5 years because it's been that recent since things have changed, but 10 years. Kids are not going to kindergarten and playing in the kitchen and taking a nap and all that stuff like we did when I was in kindergarten. I think I was able to read, run, Jane, run, see spot, mm-hmm. go. You know, that's what we did by the end of kindergarten. And now kids are expected to read books and do math and all these things in kindergarten, or they're not ready for first grade.
I can attest to that. Even when I was in kindergarten, actually even in preschool, we did still have nap time, we did still have time to play, but whenever there was someone who came in to evaluate the class, they always brought me in because I was the one in there who could read.
Of course you were,
yeah,
Daniel.
Things are a little different than they used to be because they actually do expect us to read to learn even before kindergarten.
Yeah, and it's still not a state law that
correct.
A
it's
kid goes to kindergarten. But boy, I mean, even kids who just enter education at kindergarten and don't have either the transitional kindergarten, which is for the younger kids who are not yet five in a timely manner.
Yeah.
I don't remember what date it is. But so they get 2 years, which is awesome. But kids who don't go to preschool, I mean, you just see the difference, and it's totally amazing. So for even a kindergartner to miss, a week of school, mm-hmm. is pretty harsh, and it makes it's impactful, right?
Definitely, and I'm glad you brought it up, Joan, because our attendance in kindergarten and transitional kindergarten is really
low.
Yeah, that's really hurting the schools. Yeah.
Yeah. So are you dealing a lot with younger kids and the parents just don't get it?
Yes, we do. So it's mainly, it's of course all the way to fifth grade, but a lot of our kindergartens and TK, especially TKs, they just feel like, oh, well, it's not really school. It's like, they would think that it's not really something that they have to have, so they don't send them. Or they think that it's okay to just bring them in late every day, so it's just, they don't think it's a big deal. And that's where we come in to kind of educate them on this, that, it is important
right.
for them to be there. Because you're trying to get them in the habit of knowing that school's important. And if you're having them not come to school, then they don't see that, for when they get older. So.
Well, and my thought just went out of my head.
Okay, but also parents, they don't seem to realize that 2 or 3 days a month adds up.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go, no, my kid hasn't been absent that much. It's like, yep, there's kind of things like,
exactly.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's like, because 18 days is 10% of the school year. We have 180
that
days.
That sounds mm-hmm. like nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
It is.
And I remembered what I was going to say. So if you don't think that kindergarten matters or showing up for kindergarten matters, know that the whole all of Palm Springs Unified is now every one of our kindergarten classes is full day. We would not have moved to having full day kindergarten if kindergarten wasn't important. We can't accomplish what we need to accomplish in a half a day
mm-hmm.
anymore. And so that's just and I think a lot of parents still, when we had the option, there were parents who opted for full day kindergarten.
Yes.
But there were also a ton of parents that says, well, my little 5 year old can't be in school all day. They're just too young. No, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so much needs to be accomplished at a young age now so that they're ready for the next grade.
Yeah,
and you
exactly.
talk to, first grade teachers, they know from the minute the kid walks in the door if they've been to kindergarten and moreover, if they've been to preschool.
Yeah.
So, well, you have your work cut out for you.
Yes.
And if you've just joined us, you're listening to You Learn Something New Every Day on AM 1340 KWXY. And my guests are Don Slusser. He is Palm Springs Unified Student Assistance Program Coordinator. And Olivia Zarco-Sales. And she is one of our community liaisons. So, Dawn,
Mr. Slusser actually used to be the assistant principal at my middle school.
Oh, did you know him from before?
He was one of the good kids, so I didn't have much interaction with him.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The assistant principal dealing a lot with discipline. Yeah.
He was not in my office.
he gets in trouble now, though.
Oh, does he?
I'm just kidding.
I take offense to that accusation.
I'm just kidding. Daniel's one of my mentees here in the data program.
Oh, perfect.
Yes, we have a lot of interaction, and he's awesome. He gets bored sometimes, and you know, kind of got to reel him back in. Say, it's boring, but it's important. But he's extremely bright, and that's a blessing and a curse sometimes. Right, Daniel?
If you have kids that end up being smart, they're not always going to have the most fun in school. So just remember that.
That's right. But you'll get through. You'll be very successful, no doubt. So, Dawn, you touched on one of the group, shall we say, of kids that we're dealing with are homeless kids. I think that especially people who haven't been here very long, or they might, you know, live in Indian Wells, or they might live in a posh gated community, even in Palm Springs, they just don't really know what's going on in a lot of our school district. We have, I think the latest figure is 87% or 88% of our students are on free or reduced lunch, which means that their families are at the poverty level. So we do have a substantial homeless population, right? About how many kids do we think?
So the state has a definition that if you don't have a permanent residency, mm-hmm. and they define that as having a utility bill in their name. Mm-hmm. So if you're sharing a house with another family, but they're paying the bills, you're considered homeless.
Okay.
So our numbers are inflated a little bit that way, but we
because some of them have a roof over their
they
head.
They have a roof over uh-huh. their head. They're living at grandma's house.
Uh-huh.
And grandma and grandpa pay the bills,
but
mom and dad live there, the kids live there. They might grow up and live there too. I mean, they're going to add on to the house and just keep going, which is fine. But by state definition, it's a homeless situation because they don't have a stable utility bill in their name.
So do we know about how many kids or families we have that are living in their cars or in shelters, or that they actually don't have a place to live?
We have less than 100 students in that situation. We had more when Rory's shelter was open in the area, but now that they've closed, a lot of those students have had to go down valley to shelters.
So they moved school districts.
They didn't have to, but they chose to because it was closer.
I mean,
it's a long bus ride to go from Indio to Palm Springs High School in the morning.
So what kind of outreach or services are we providing for these 100 kids or so who don't have a roof over their heads?
We have two of my community liaisons are working with them. So Deanna Bertado Chavez and Olivia are the two people that work with our foster and homeless youth. They have time set aside. They work with the registrars to make sure that they're properly identified. They work with administration to make sure that all the services and laws are being followed to help these students. We have great community support. Our Assistance League, the Rotary, Our Savior's Church have all stepped up to help us with these students. And so we can get them bus passes, we can get them backpacks, we can get them clothing, shoes,
gift cards for food
for the weekend, all kinds of things for them.
Well, that's a good thing, and actually, one of the Rotary clubs, the evening Rotary club in Palm Springs, kind of started this. Is it called the Gap Fund?
Correct.
And kind of what they started it, and other groups just stepped up and said, "What we're gonna." They didn't really want to join that particular effort because I think everybody wanted to get their own credit, which is fine. So, but they all stepped up with donations and said, "We know how important this is, and we want to help," and that's great.
It is. It's. We have a very outgiving, pouring community for
us. Yeah, I mean the Assistance League, and they're going to be on. They're going to be on the show in a couple of weeks.
Oh, they're great.
They're just, you know, every year they give thousands of backpacks. The backpacks, and in the backpacks are clothes.
999 this year. I miscounted when I ordered.
Unbelievable. I mean, you know, and they've been doing this for years, and they have. They have uniforms and socks and underwear and they're amazing.
And they've just given us 500 pairs of shoes for elementary students, so we're getting those out to students. Yeah, they are an amazing group of women.
Yeah, and these ladies are all volunteers, and they run a thrift store in Cathedral City. That's where a lot of the funds come from and grants that they get. But they're just, like, hearts of gold, and it's their pleasure to do it, and they do scholarships, and I mean, they're just phenomenal. So I don't want to take away from the Rotary Clubs, but
no. And the great thing with the community liaisons is that they work actively with them. Mm-hmm. So they're the Assistance League, and the liaisons are the ones who filled all those bags full of clothing.
Yeah, go on the homepage of our website. You see a nice picture from last year.
Yeah.
We haven't updated it yet, but it, they're really fabulous. So okay, so you then we have kids at the secondary level that are just cutting class, ditching school, whatever you want to call it. What are we doing with them? And I know that there was a crackdown. It's been a while, but there was, like, you know, where we had the district attorney's office meeting with parents, like, you know, after a certain number of absences, they got a letter saying you're in violation of the law and you need to come to this meeting, and if you don't, then you have to pay a fine. Are we still doing that? And how big is the problem?
So the attendance at secondaries at middle school and high school kind of goes through the same process with that the community liaisons do. They still have a SART meeting, a school attendance team meeting, with an administrator, a counselor, talking to the parents and the kids. And then they monitor the attendance, just like my liaisons do, thank you. And if their attendance doesn't improve, then they go to a SARB meeting, which is a school attendance review board, mm-hmm. and which I chair, and it's a once a month meeting. We have them in Desert Hot Springs, Cathedral City, and in Palm Springs. And there, again, we offer them, what is it that's keeping the kids from there? What can we do? And then we monitor it still. And if it still doesn't improve, then we give the names to the district attorney. We have a new district attorney this year, and mm-hmm. she is willing to work with us and look at those parents and take them to court in front of a judge.
So when that happens, and that's if, I mean, they reach out to the parents first too,
correct.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, so it's a last resort.
Correct.
So it's not like, you know, we have 30 parents a week who are going to court, no. But sometimes it gets to that level. I went to court a couple of one time. I was invited to see what the process was.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell us your kids.
No, no. So it was very interesting, and the judge was pretty darn tough. And he's like, "You look, you know, we don't want to do this, but you have a choice now. You can." And then it was at the point where, okay, they actually, the fine had been levied, and it was like, then it became a choice of the kid can, with the kids going back to school regardless, but pay the fine or do community service. Yeah. And that kind of puts it more back on the student, because, you know, unfortunately, it's the parent that gets fined.
Correct.
But at the high school level,
right,
sometimes the parents are not in control of the situation. They should be, but sometimes they're not. You know, they just have kids who are defiant and, like, too bad, I'm not going.
Right. When in the SARB meetings, when I'm talking to a parent of a third grader, I'm talking to the parent. You
exactly,
need to be doing this.
Right.
But if it's a ninth or tenth grader, I'm talking to the student. You
right.
can get up. You can set an alarm clock. You know how to do this. You're making the choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, in a year's time, about how many get to the level where it becomes a you know, you're breaking the law and you have to go to court?
This year, I'm going to anticipate that we're going to probably take 20.
About 20
parents.
Now, is that because you said these are kids who missed half the year?
Correct.
Is it that high?
It can be.
Okay.
Yeah, and a lot of the times it's not, it's families. So we're taking 20 families.
I see, yeah.
Because it's usually not just a one-child issue. It's a family issue, which is why they check in the student's information system to see what other kids there are and what their attendance looks like, and then they reach out to the other schools and say, okay, we have this mom coming in. We're going to talk to her.
And these are really, these are the parents that just are like, not interested in working with you. This is the way it is. Because I'm sure you're not going to take, press charges against a parent that's just struggling because of a
correct.
Family situation.
Yes. That is correct.
You're just going to keep working with them and do everything you can to rectify that situation. No, these are the families that just say, none of your business. I don't have to do this. And, my kid's not going to school. Oh, well. Or I can't do anything about it. Or, that kind of stuff.
Right? We had SARB today. And we had a parent, and she finally broke down. She's like, I need help. Mm. There are five of them and one of me. And I can't do this. And the kids are just sitting there looking at her like, kind of thing. And so we have mental health to help. We have parenting classes. We have all kinds of things to help the students.
Well, you're dealing with especially single parents. Mm-hmm. And they have, three, four, five kids, and they're working two jobs just to put food on the table. And it's hard to, keep track of the kids and make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. And you're trying to just, keep a roof over your head. And yeah, it's tough stuff.
I had a high school boy this morning, and his mom's like, I'm at work when he's supposed to be getting up. I call, and he says, yeah, I'm going. And then when
and
I get
he
home,
doesn't.
He
yeah.
didn't.
Yeah. And, I would assume that in parenting classes, that one of the messages to parents is you need to do everything you can to stay in the driver's seat in the relationship. Because once you lose that, what do you do?
Yeah.
No, they're not afraid. They don't think there's going to be any consequences, and you lose control, and it spirals, it gets worse and worse. So you always have, I was always just the little bit afraid of my parents.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. It wasn't fear. It was respect. But it was like, I knew if I broke the rules that there were consequences to pay, and that made me not break the rules.
Correct. Yep.
And if parents lose that somewhere along the line, then they're kind of dead in the water when it comes to, a kid who's not going to come to school, whatever the reason is. If they start going down the bad path and the parent has nothing to bring them back in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But legally they're still responsible.
I know.
Yep.
Yeah. Olivia, do you like your job?
I do.
Do you?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Well, this would be a tough job to be in if you didn't love it,
It's different every day, so it's like it's never the same, and I like doing that.
And it must feel good when you're able to help.
Yes,
I guess
it's very rewarding.
You learn something new every day.
Ah, exactly.
That's a good name for a radio show. Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm glad, and we're fortunate to have you.
Thank you.
So thank you for everything that you do, and Dawn. I give you a hard time sometimes, but I love working with you, and you sometimes have to deal with stuff that you like really because it's part of the thing. I mean, you have all these community groups that are stepping up to help, which is awesome, but there's also expectations on their side. You have to make sure that they feel loved and that, and you show up at their meetings and say
exactly.
thank you and,
yep.
Show appreciation
and give them the...
That really probably wasn't a big part of the job or as big as you thought it was going to be.
It was not part of the job description, that
right.
is for sure.
But, at least it's for a good reason.
Yes,
so
it is. Yep.
Good thing. You like what you do?
Yes, I do.
Good.
I enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, keep up the great work, and thank you very much for being here, and we'll of course have you back next year, do an update and
great.
Hear where we are. And the community liaison program is fabulous. So we won awards for it at the state level, and we deserve them.
Yes.
So thank you guys.
Thank you.
And next week, our guest will be our Assistant Superintendent of Business Services, Dr. Brian Murray. Our show airs each Sunday on AM 1340 KWXY, and our podcast is uploaded each Sunday afternoon. Please subscribe by going to iTunes. Look for You Learn Something New. Press subscribe. Please tell all your friends to do the same. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Daniel. We'll see you next week.